Hello, everyone, and welcome to Media Mavens. This is episode 33. I am Pam, and with me, as always, is Riley.
Hello.
How you doing, Riley?
I'm doing all right.
That's good. So we had a little scheduling change. We had planned to do an episode on the new Wonder Woman movie with a guest, but there was a bit of an emergency situation, so hopefully we can get that recorded for next episode. So This episode is just going to be the two of us. We're going to talk about what we've been doing and answer some very last-minute listener questions. A number of you really came through and asked questions in the hour that I gave you to ask them. So thank you. So Riley, what have you been up to since we last recorded?
Gosh, not a whole lot. I feel like... All right, so I've had this problem with my phone and my phone account where somebody went in and fraudulently made some changes to my account. So in my spare time, I've kind of been dealing with that. So that's kind of taken up a little bit of my time. But then the weekends have actually been really nice.
Yeah.
The last two weekends here. So it's been hard to stay inside. Like this weekend that we just had. Okay, well, hang on. By the time this gets out on Monday, that's not going to be the right time. So let's see. The weekend, the 17th and 18th was Father's Day stuff. So like Sunday or Saturday, I was over at family, like doing family stuff in Burlington. And then Sunday I was out at the baseball game with my dad. So I didn't have any time to do anything on those days. And then the weekend before that was also really nice. I'm pretty sure, is that when we hung out? Yeah. So, like, we did a bunch of stuff that weekend. So it was kind of busy there, too. So really, all I've done is play a little bit of Overwatch. And I got to see the new map. The Moon Colony one, Horizon, I think it's called.
What's that like? I haven't played since the patch.
I've played one match on it. it's okay. There's like a section outside that's not really en route to either capture point where you can go outside and it's like low gravity.
Oh.
But like there were people like, I don't know, like dicking around in there when like the other team was like coming to our point. So as far as I know, it's not really like part of the map where you're gonna be fighting. So I don't know. It's a cool addition. Like it's really neat to be like floating around. And there's a mode in the arcade where you can do low gravity on any map. So like I played low gravity on the Nepal map, which was actually really fun. So I liked that, where like the whole thing was low gravity, but having like sections of a map be low gravity and they're not really like, they're kind of out of the way of where you would expect to be team fighting.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of strange, the positioning of everything. But I liked it. It's always cool to see a new map. And like Winston's bedroom is on that map, so you can go in there and like his little jar of peanut butter is on the bed. And, like you can look out the window and you can see Earth, and it's like all space stuff. So that's, it's pretty cool.
And is it like a full map, like for quick play and competitive?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I think it's already in competitive.
Oh, I guess
if I'm not
should
mistaken.
See it before before I run into that.
Yeah, like I went into quick play, like kind of going in just to check it out, and I ended up getting that map, so it's kind of cool. A new map is always nice, except for like the Oasis maps. I hate those, so when they added those I wasn't stoked about that, but the Horizon map seems okay. And then apart from that, I finished watching the new season of Master of None, which again is such a great show.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked how they, like, there was so many, like, Italian cinema influences in it, and it was just shot so beautifully and everything.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, Dev cannot catch a break.
I know!
Poor guy.
I didn't expect the end of the season to be so, like, heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah.
I did like that they did some different things. Like, I really like Aziz Ansari. Like, I love how he, you know, makes a lot of comments about, you know, things being a boys' club. Like, yeah. The stuff that happens with Chef Jeff. And I remember one of the most memorable episodes in season one was when it opened up and it compared, like, a drunk guy walking home from the bar at night with, like, a woman walking home from the bar at night, and, like, how different the experiences was for them. So I really like that he doesn't shy away from that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I also really liked that there was two episodes. Well, one episode he was barely in at all, and then one episode where he was secondary, which was the Thanksgiving episode, which was one of the best ones, I thought.
Oh, that was such a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's such a great show. And then we're recording on a weird day again because of me. because I won tickets to KCON New York, which is this weekend, the 23rd and 24th. So I was like, yeah, I'm going.
That's awesome. Where did you win the tickets?
Through Twitter.
Oh.
From Cult Scene, which is actually Tamar's website. So her and her friend were doing the ticket giveaways, and I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then she said that the other woman that runs it, I forget her name, but texted Tamar and was like, I think your friend just won tickets. yeah, so
well, that's
I'm going
to
go.
And she's going to be there, right? So you're going to see her?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So I meet her. And I found out, like, if anybody who still plays World of Warcraft knows who Bajira Wow is, and his girlfriend, or his wife now, Warcraft Jen, they're also going to be there.
Oh, that's cool.
But for Hearthstone, because there's a Hearthstone tournament at KCON.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm going to find them and be like, hey guys, what's up?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, like, there's like what's it called? M2 Invitational by Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a mobile game tournament, and Hearthstone happens to be one of them. So the other two I don't know, but Hearthstone I do. So I'm going to go check out the Hearthstone tournament.
Cool.
And there's like a bunch of groups that are going to be at KCON that I haven't actually listened to their music. So I've been spending a lot of time just going through Spotify and adding all of their songs to, like, this giant playlist so that I have some idea of what I'm listening to when I go to the concerts. But I'm finding, like, songs that I like and things that I wouldn't normally have listened to because I didn't really know about them, so it's kind of cool.
Well, that is cool.
Yeah, so this weekend's gonna be so busy.
Are you leaving tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow morning. Awesome. Early.
How are you getting there?
We're driving.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be long.
Yeah.
But I'm going to sleep probably for the first half,
mm-hmm.
and then drive for some of it at least. But yeah, it's going to be a long one.
Well, good travels.
Yeah, thanks. What about you, Pam? What have you been up to?
Well, I saw Wonder Woman.
Yay!
Which I don't want to talk about too much because I am still hoping we do an episode on it. But I will just say that I liked it a lot. There were some pieces I thought could be better, but in general, it was really good. And I really liked Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. She was very good.
Yeah.
So, I also finished the second season of Master of None, which we already talked about. I watched some E3 coverage. I didn't watch a ton of it. The only full conference I watched was the Microsoft one, and then I sort of caught the occasional trailer here and there from games that I was interested in. Did you follow any of the E3?
Only a little bit. Like, it was really just, like, super peripheral for me. Mm-hmm. Like, anything that I saw was probably, like, retweeted. And, yeah, I didn't really go seek out any of the streams this year.
Okay. So, the Microsoft conference had some things I was definitely interested in. State of Decay 2, which we've known about for a while, but I really liked State of Decay because it's like, you know, it's another zombie game, which I know a lot of people are sick of, but it also incorporates a, like, a base building and resource management part of the game. So you go out and, you know, you go try to find supplies and things, and you can find other survivors and bring them back to your camp. And sometimes there's tensions between survivors. And one of the cool things is that if the character you're playing dies, then you just continue on as one of the other people in your camp.
Although, that is cool.
It is cool, although it didn't work so well for me in the first game because I played the guy that you start the game as, and I got attached to him, and if he died, I would be like, fuck this, I'm starting over, because I didn't want him to be dead. But I'm looking forward to that. They also announced Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
So I'm really excited for another Ori game.
So, okay, so I have a question, because they showed, like, a little trailer, kind of.
Yeah.
So is that bird, the tiny baby bird, is that the baby bird of the bird from the first game?
It looks like it.
That's what I thought, because I saw that small bird and I was like, oh, no. I was like, I don't need to cry again.
Yeah, it was, they even had the someone out on a piano on the stage, like, playing the music with it. It was,
oh my god,
it was a good trailer. What else? Tacoma got a release date, which I think is fairly soon. I think it's August.
Ooh.
So that I'm looking forward to. One of the surprises, which was not at Microsoft, I think it was at the Ubisoft conference, was that they had a Beyond Good and Evil 2 trailer.
Mm.
And that's one of those games. The original came out in 2002, I believe, and I really loved it then, and, you know, they've sort of been teasing a sequel for many, many years. It's almost gotten to the point of, like, The Last Guardian, where so it's kind of like, I'm not super interested, but this trailer came up, and it was sort of a surprise, but I honestly didn't like it at all.
Oh, really?
It looked really pretty, but I just found the whole thing very, very cringy. Like, there's a lot of swearing, like, so many F-bombs, which is just odd. Like, I don't have a problem with swearing, but it was just seems
like swearing for the sake of swearing instead of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the original did have, like, it's this world where it's like humans and anthropomorphic animals and things like that. And it did have, like, some really bad accents and weird racial coding. And that's still present now, which is just kind of like, it was just like between the swearing and, like, the racial coding. And, like, there's this one character just, like, with giant tits and she pulled, like, a credit chip out of them or something. And I was just like, what is this? Like, I don't know. This doesn't seem like, the game that I liked from 2002. And they even seem like they want to go in this big, expansive open world with it, which is also like, not interested.
No more open world.
Yeah. And then the other one, the sort of best reveal for me was Wolfenstein, The New Colossus. They make really, really good trailers. When they released The New Order, they had good trailers of, like, all these pop songs in America, but they were all done in German because the Germans had won World War II. And so this one starts with, like, almost like a Lassie thing with this, like, German girl going through the valley, and she finds some people trapped under a car, and she calls Liesel, and it's like this big machine dog. And so the concept of this one is this one takes place in America, and so you get to be part of the resistance and shoot all the Nazis. So
nice.
So I'm excited. I actually restarted playing Wolfenstein the New Order because I was so excited for the sequel. So I said I wasn't going to talk, or I said earlier on Twitter that I didn't want to listen to another E3 podcast. But here I am talking about E3, partially so that our podcast is more than 20 minutes long. What else did I do? I watched some more American Gods, and I'm not really digging it. It's there's good things, like, as I talked about before, it's, like, just beautiful, and it's shot really well. There are some things I like, some of the sort of more side characters, but the gods are just weird. Like, the new gods are all really silly, and then the old gods aren't that interesting. Anything where Mr. Wednesday, who is like the main god, he's Odin, goes and tries to track down another god, like he found Vulcan in the last episode that I watched. It just, like, I don't know, it's not as interesting as the rest of it. So I don't know if I'm going to continue watching that one. I also watched San Andreas.
Which, okay, so why?
Because I have a weakness for dumb disaster movies. Like, okay. I love Twister.
Oh, okay, well, Twister's like a classic.
It is. I love Armageddon.
That's also a good one.
This one actually wasn't, I don't know, like, it was very by the numbers. Like, it was so cliche, it was kind of ridiculous. So it has The Rock in it, and he is estranged from his wife and daughter, and his wife now has a new man that she's moving in with, and then disaster strikes, and he has to find them, and along the way sort of win them back, because this guy is a knob. So it was just, like, very, very exactly what you'd expect. Like, a lot of The Rock and his big muscles, his daughter is played by Alexandra Daddario, and she has large breasts and runs around in a tank top a lot. But then there was a lot of CGI buildings falling down, which I'm all about.
All right, yeah, I get, yeah.
So, yeah, I think I played Darkest Dungeon while I watched it, but I was just, like, sitting in bed thinking, like, oh, what should I watch? I'm caught up on MasterChef, and I'm caught up on, or I finished Master of None, so I was like, oh, here's a disaster movie, let's go with that. Oh, and there was also a trailer for a new disaster movie called Geostorm before Wonder Woman when I saw it.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that was before mine, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I could deal with some more disaster movies.
Yeah.
Other than that, a lot of Overwatch. Too much Overwatch. Now that they've put in that patch where you can see your stats for all competitive seasons, I've played 285 hours of competitive Overwatch.
Oh my gosh, that's so much.
Yeah. And then the exciting thing that happened was that earlier this week, I reached Diamond for the first time.
Yay!
Which is awesome. I'm really proud of myself. I went up 998 SR since placements. Mostly solo queue.
That's brave, solo queue.
Yeah, that's just sort of what I do. Will finally played some games with me because he's always Diamond. So once I hit like 28, 2900, he was like, well, I guess I can play with you now. So yeah, I didn't think I was going to get there, but I was, you know, at that 2800 and he's like, you're going to get Diamond. I was like, no, I'm not that good. But yeah, so I was really happy about that. Although what sort of propelled me into getting that was that while we were playing together, I think we played like 6 or 7 games, and I think I went up by 6 points in the time we played together. This Farah, I was playing Mercy, and this Farah got so salty. Like, our team was just being steamrolled. Like, right out of the gate, the other team was just steamrolling us. And he was very mad that he wasn't getting heals. But, like, the tanks were just dropping immediately. I was trying to heal them. But no one could kill anything. They were complaining about no one getting heals, even though, like, I healed 5,000 damage in 4 minutes, which is kind of a lot. So people were definitely getting heals. But he just yelled at me for that. And then he started making very vulgar comments and insinuating that Will was boosting me. And then he was like, I'm not letting you boost her. She's not getting to diamond. And he just stopped playing once we were on defense. So that made me really, really mad. And then I just, like, kept playing until I hit diamond. So,
yeah. Why are people...
Yeah, I don't know. Because most of the time I find it's not so bad. Like,
yeah.
People are generally pretty friendly. I mean, sometimes when things go bad, people just start blaming everything for everyone for everything. But yeah, there's just, you know, the occasional game where you just get some real douchebag who has an issue with the fact that you're a woman playing a video game with them. But
screw you, Farah guy.
Yeah, exactly. Screw you. I'm diamond. I'm probably ranked higher than he is.
Yeah.
That's about it. I guess. Well, I listened to more of the podcast Rabbits, which I think I talked about before. It's about this alternate reality game, and this woman is investigating it because her friend disappeared playing it. And the first couple episodes were good, but as it's been going on, just the writing and the acting have been getting very, very bad. Like, the way it's done, like, it's all so formulaic, and it started driving me crazy. Like, the music cues are, like, the same, and they're reused so much. And the way everyone talks is just, like, you mean this could be part of... The game? Yes. Really? And it's just, like, all these pregnant pauses and, like... The men in the podcast, who generally are, like, these figures who know more about the game, always, like, just really cryptic, and the woman has to ask them so many questions to get a straight answer out of them, and it's just, I think I'm gonna stop. I listened to the second last episode of the season, but it was, like...
You're not even gonna finish it?
I'm not even gonna finish it. That bad? Like, it made me that mad. And then when I get really salty about something... I'll Google. So I Googled Rabbits is bad because I just want to see if anyone if anyone agreed with me. So I found this blog article by a woman who started off, she had the same experience as me. She started off, liked the first 2 episodes, but then just found the quality sort of went down and the story wasn't going anywhere. But she talked about 2 podcasts with a much smaller budget who are the same kind of thing, like the same sort of somewhat supernatural radio drama kind of thing. So I started listening to one of them, and it's called The Bright Sessions, and it's about a psychologist or a psychiatrist giving therapy to these patients who she calls them atypicals, but they, like, have superpowers, basically. So the first one can time travel, and the second one is an empath, so they're, like, getting confiding in this woman about, like, sort of the issues that their superpowers cause them. So it's pretty cool so far, and the episodes are only, like, 15 or 20 minutes.
Oh, that's nice and short.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, that sounds cool.
Yeah. And then there was another one that she recommended called Wolf 359, and I haven't listened to that one yet, but it was good. My salty Googling has come up with new recommendations. So
yay.
And I think that's all I've been up to in the last little bit.
Nice.
So we've got some listener questions. Do you want to kick those off?
Yeah, sure. So the first one is from a Latino lawyer, and it's got nothing to do with, like, media in particular. But he asks, crepes, savory or sweet?
The first time I saw a savory crepe, I thought it was weird. Like, I always thought that crepes were sweet. But yeah. They're actually, I think I've only had maybe one or two savory. They're pretty good, but I'd still take sweet. Some fruit.
Yeah. I think I would go opposite, actually. Mm. Yeah. I can't eat them anymore because I can't find good gluten-free crepe recipe. Oh. But I actually lived in France for 3 months in high school.
Oh, yeah.
So savory crepes were kind of like, we would go out and get like that for kind of like an afternoon snack or whatever, or after school. So yeah, savory for me, for sure.
All right. So the next question is from Gus Hank Bremer. Excited or terrified with the deluge of apparently great games from the last year, now, and E3? Anything you're looking forward to? And then we also got a question from Retrofaith Games asking what games we're most pumped for before 2018. So we can sort of answer these ones together, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, I gotta play some, first of all. So I'm already overwhelmed because there's going to be a ton of new games and I haven't played a bunch from like 2 years ago now. There was one game that I saw that kind of reminded me of like in the spirit of Overcooked. Oh, yeah. Except it was with pirates.
Oh.
And it's more like you and your friends, like, are piloting a ship. I guess, I don't know if piloting is the right word, but, like, one person does, like steers the ship, and the other person can, like, hold up a map so that the person can see.
Oh.
And the other person, like, can, like, control the sails or whatever. And then you can find treasure, and you can upgrade your ships. So that actually looked, like, ridiculously fun just because I can imagine like how like stupid it would be. I don't remember what it's called though. Shoot. I wonder. Let me see. Pirate
Skull and Bones.
A3. Sea of Thieves, I think it was that one.
Oh, Sea of Thieves? Oh,
okay. Yeah. Because I was like, oh man, it's kind of like, it's like Overcooked in that you're playing with other people, but not like Overcooked because you have like a sea to sail on instead of being on like the little platforms where you cook stuff.
Yeah.
That looked really cute.
Yeah, the gameplay of that looked pretty cool. You go and like dive for treasures and
things. Yeah.
There's another co-op game as well, A Way Out, which basically looks like Prison Break the game. Like, it's by the developers who made the game Brothers, which not co-op, but you play as two brothers using one stick for each one.
Mm.
So it was like a little hard to wrap your head around. It's kind of like single player Overcooked. But yeah, this is like less cartoony, more realistic graphics, and I think you play brothers again in this one trying to break out of prison, and it's a couch co-op game.
Interesting. Also, like, I mean, I'm looking forward to Ori, the new Ori, of course,
because
I love the last one, so yeah, I don't know. I kind of tuned out all of the E3 news because I was like, I don't know. I'm not really, there's nothing I'm really looking forward to hearing about. So I don't know. I just like to get I get the surprise when I see the news articles and stuff, so.
Yeah. I'm also sort of overwhelmed by all the big games that have come out. Like, I feel like most of the ones, like the ones we talked about on our episode with Dia, if I haven't played them already, I probably won't. Like, I don't think I'll play Horizon. Basically anything open world, I'm like, I can't do it unless it's a like, series I really love.
The appeal is just not there right now for me.
Yeah, so I'm still working my way through Nier. I think I'm almost on my playthrough of that. But so I am looking forward to a bunch of games, though. And I did like that at E3 there was a number of games that will release this year as opposed to what developers, especially Sony, usually does. It's like, here's what's coming in, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Tacoma is coming out in August, so I'm looking forward to that before 2018. Cuphead, which is a game that's been at Microsoft's E3 for the past 4 years, finally got a release date. I think that's end of summer as well. And it's so weird. So many people are so excited for that game, and I really do like that they use that sort of 1920s cartoon style, but I have no idea if I'll like the gameplay or not. I think it's like a run-and-gun kind of. At first I was thinking it was more of a platformer. Wolfenstein, again, is a big one. That one comes out in October. Oh, and something that's coming out really soon is the Crash Bandicoot remaster.
Oh my god.
So I played a lot of Crash Bandicoot 2 back when it was current, so I could play more of that.
Remastered Crash Bandicoot. Yeah, I could play that.
And Pyre, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
That's by the developers of Bastion and Transistor. And
Transistor, yeah.
So,
that's like a must purchase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm interested in anything they do. So, the one thing that I'm not excited about that a lot of people put on their lists is the South Park game, because I don't like South Park at all. I don't understand why people like South Park.
I mean, like, I think I've seen a couple episodes, and there's been like some points where I've laughed, but like, I don't know. I'm not into that kind of humor, I don't think. And so I'm not excited for that game. I don't even think I've, like, because there's another one out, right? The Sword of Truth?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even look at that one, really. So, yeah. Yeah. The next question is from Steven Nider on Twitter. And he asks, how excited are you for the new Transformers movie?
I'm negative excited. I actually don't think I've ever watched a full Transformers movie.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I think the first one wasn't terrible, if I'm remembering correctly. I was just saying to Pam before we started recording that I didn't even know that there was a new one until today, because I heard it on the radio. And they were like, talking, there were some lines from the movie or something. It was like, directed by Michael Bay, Transformers. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And Anthony Hopkins is in it. And
what?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't look forward to those movies. I don't, like... I mean, I don't think Michael Bay is good, but did he do Armageddon? I think he did Armageddon.
I don't know.
Let me look up this. Sorry.
Google it real quick.
Because I've always thought, oh, Michael Bay's not so bad. Oh, yeah, he did do Armageddon. So, like, that's the one.
Michael Bay, what happened?
Or, like, Bad Boys isn't terrible. I mean, they're all very, you know, predictable, I guess. But yeah, I've never been a huge Transformers fan. I think I used to watch the cartoon when I was a kid. And I had
Beasties.
And I had some of the toys when I was a kid, and I could never figure out how to put them back in their other forms.
I only had the Beasties toys. I didn't have, like, the vehicle Transformers. I had Beasties.
Oh, okay. One thing that I do look forward to that is related to Transformers is that Lindsay Ellis is doing a series about Transformers. It's sort of talking about auteur theory and whether or not you can call Michael Bay an auteur, and goes through using Transformers specifically to talk about that. And she's just like doing a very, very thorough discussion of the Transformers movies, and it's really, really quite hilarious. So that series is still in progress. So I'm looking forward to the next episode of that.
God.
All right. And the next question is another one from Gus Hank Brummer. Have the ways in which you consume gaming content changed with articles, videos, and live streams vying for time?
I feel like I watch a lot more than I read, for sure. Mostly because, like, I can put something on in the background when I'm doing something else.
Right.
And just, like, listen to somebody talk about it. Because, like, normally my go-to would have been, like, reading, like, a website article or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of switched to more, I guess, digital format. Even though the articles are all digital, too, now. Yeah. Video format.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, I watched, like, a Persona 4 stream instead of playing the game myself. I'm glad that I did, because I don't know if I would have enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I definitely am doing more watching than I am doing reading, which is kind of disappointing to me to say out loud, because I like reading, and, like, reading people's opinions and whatnot, but I don't know, taking the time to sit down and read something as opposed to being able to multitask while I'm watching something else is, yeah, there's almost, like, too much going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my way of consuming gaming content has sort of changed with what I'm producing at the time. Like, when I used to do a lot of blogging, I used to read a ton of blogs. And then as I started making videos, I started watching more videos. Although I tend to watch more videos about sort of retro stuff to just, like, be involved in the community as opposed to a whole lot of videos on newer games. But I do sort of my share of reading articles and watching videos. I don't really do the live stream thing, but I use Feedly. I still use my feed reader every day, so I subscribe to, like, the big sites like Waypoint and Polygon and Kotaku, and then a good number of sort of smaller sites or blogs about game content as well as movie content.
So we have another, or the next question is from at Cartridge Brothers, which I think this is P1.
Yeah.
Is that right?
P1. Yeah.
I ask it every time. And he got this in, like, just under the wire, because I only saw it because I clicked over to the Twitter tab on my second monitor. So the question is Wonder Woman the best DC superhero movie you've ever seen, or the best superhero movie, period?
I haven't had any time to think about this one. I haven't had any time to think about any of these questions. I usually make notes. Spot.
Yeah, this one's came in really fast.
I'm trying to,
last minute.
Best DC superhero movie.
So, like, Batman or the Batman movies, those are DC.
I mean, The Dark Knight was pretty good. A lot of that was due to Heath Ledger.
Yeah. That's a hard one to top.
But I think Wonder Woman was definitely more fun than that one.
Mm.
Or the best superhero movie, period. I don't know. I really like the X-Men movies. The first X-Men 1 and X-Men 2 I thought were pretty great. I think I would call those better than the Wonder Woman movie. But Wonder Woman is good.
Yeah. Yeah, I what was the speaking of X-Men movie, like the Mikey Newman, the guy that does movies with Mikey, mm-hmm. just did a Logan episode.
Oh yeah.
And actually made me appreciate Logan even more, because I kind of walked away from Logan being like, take it or leave it, kind of thing. But the analysis that he did on the movie and like the characters in particular, especially Professor X and like Logan himself, I thought were really good. And so it kind of like gave me a new way to look at that movie. But to wrap back around Wonder Woman, I don't know. I don't think it's the best superhero movie, period. I think that might be like, it depends on what you classify as like a superhero movie, I guess. Because like, I wouldn't say Logan is a superhero movie, mm-hmm. but I would say like any of the Marvel superhero movies are like in that genre for sure. But Logan is kind of aside from that, and Wonder Woman is definitely in the superhero movie mm-hmm. category. I think in terms of like how happy I was during the movie, it's the best one.
Mm-hmm.
and like how I was consistently like, oh my gosh, like every like scene I was like, oh my god, she's doing the thing, she doesn't have like five other dudes on her team being like, no, I can do that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like so I appreciated it for that, and for what it is. I don't know if it's the best superhero movie, but and I don't know if it's the best DC superhero movie, because there's some decent, like the Batman one, the Dark Knight, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does that one count as like a superhero movie?
I think because, so.
Yeah, like it's not as, you know, lighthearted as kind of the Marvel ones are.
Yeah, that's sort of DC's thing though.
True.
They're a lot darker. Yeah.
Doom and gloom.
Yeah.
With DC. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like there's not a single answer. Like, there's not, I can't pick one or the other out of those options. It kind of, like, meanders around the point.
Mm-hmm. I think part of my problem and the reason I would say it's not the best one is that I have a hard time calling origin stories the best, because I find origin stories are generally not as interesting as when, like, the character's already introduced, you know what's happening, and they can sort of take it a little bit further, which is what I hope they do with the sequel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope they, even speaking of, like, the Spider-Man movie that's coming up, I really hope they don't focus too much on, like, ooh, dude got bit by a spider, now he's Spider-Man, because we've seen that, what, like, four times?
Oh, so many times. I hate Spider-Man. Like, there's been so many movies and, like, so many, like,
Spider-Mans
and so many origin stories. And, like, Aunt May just, like, loses 20 years every time.
She gets younger and younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So next we have another question about Wonder Woman. We did get Wonder Woman questions specifically for our Wonder Woman episode, so we will save those until mm-hmm. next time. But these were sort of, you know, a little bit peripheral. So this one is from MK Patter, and she asks, how do you feel about that Wonder Woman's brother, Bull Hockey?
Okay. So for people that don't know, Wonder Woman is getting like a new comic book run, I think,
mm-hmm.
but it's not about her.
It's about her brother.
Because apparently she has a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess people think that we're going to care about that.
Yeah. Hey, look, we just released this really popular, well-received movie about Wonder Woman. Let's talk about someone else.
God, and I'm pretty sure, like, the entire team is all men that's going to be working on that comic, and, like, I just, like, why wouldn't you capitalize on how people are going to be wanting to check out Wonder Woman's comics now? Like, why would you choose now? Why would you choose ever to focus on Wonder Woman's brother? Yeah. Like, who gives a flying F about her brother?
Yeah.
Ugh. Like, ugh. I know there's a good run. I think Gail Simone wrote a bunch of Wonder Woman. So if you're looking to check out Wonder Woman, go read her comic book run instead of buying this new crap that's going to be coming out. Like,
Yeah. It just seems so tone deaf. Like, I don't get it.
Ugh, like, you guys love this movie about Wonder Woman? Well, here you go. Here's her brother. Like, no. Ugh, so frustrating. Get out of here, DC.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about that. Ugh. The next question is from a Liger Wolf on Twitter. And they ask, there's rumors of a new Godzilla movie with his other giant friends like Mothra and company. Yay or nay?
I've never been a huge Godzilla fan. I haven't ever seen any of the, like, actual Japanese Godzilla movies.
Me neither.
I remember during the big disaster movie craze, there was a Godzilla movie, which I did see. And I don't really remember the movie very well. I just remember the soundtrack because Puff Daddy did a song where he sampled Led Zeppelin. But
that's, yeah, very specific.
It is very specific. I actually have that CD in my car. It is the only CD I own. Will bought it at a pawn shop for $1. Wow. So, I mean, you know, disaster, giant monsters, I'd be up for it.
Yeah, I mean, take it or leave it. I feel like we have cooler giant monsters with, like, Pacific Rim.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And, like, the new Pacific Rim, John Boyega's gonna be in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I don't see, I was going to be like, make it like Pacific Rim. But then I was like, but then I would just watch Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be kind of cool to see the other monsters. Like, I don't actually know. I think there's, like, a ton of them. Like, other monsters that, like, fight Godzilla or whatever.
Yeah, I think so. So
that'd be kind of cool, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, I haven't, like, ever really been super into Godzilla except for, like, maybe my brother's, like, running around and yelling about Godzilla. So I don't have any particular, like, ties or, you know, desire to see anything with him, so.
Mm-hmm. Eh. All right. Our last question is from VG Collectaholic, who asks, what do you wish you'd see more or less of at conventions?
I would like to see more or better thought out lineups. Better layout, like better convention floor flow.
E3 looked like a nightmare since they sold like, what did they sell? Like 10,000 tickets to the public? That looked awful. Ugh. People were waiting in line for like 6 hours to play.
That sounds
Fallout horrible. VR. Like,
ugh. Yeah, and think of how many people had that headset on their face before you did. No thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I feel, lineups I can do without, like, I don't know, give me a number and tell me when to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just do that instead. Ugh.
Don't they do that for some of, like, the pictures at Comic-Con? Not Comic-Con. The one in Toronto, the big one.
Yeah, I think you buy tickets for a time.
Mm.
And then you go, but you still have to line up, like, you don't have a, I haven't actually done a photo op at like, the Toronto Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. No, I haven't. I've just done autographs. But, like, I'm pretty sure you buy a ticket for a time slot, and then whenever you show up during that time slot, like, if there's people lined up, you have to wait.
Hmm.
So, like, it's not like, you know, come at 2:15, the next person comes at 2:20, the next person comes at 2:25. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like that. It's like, you know, this 100 people come from 2 to 3.
Right.
That kind of thing. Which is a little better than just having, like, a ton of people line up and then pay, but, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, like, the Metro Toronto Convention Center sucks.
Oh.
Ugh. Like, getting anywhere for that particular convention, like, for Fan Expo, was just, like, the merchant... like, Artist Alley Place is in the basement floor,
mm-hmm.
and to get anywhere, you have to take escalators, oh. and so there's just, like, mobs of people going up all these escalators. Like, you go up, like, 3 or 4 escalators at a time, and then getting from the North Convention Building to the South Convention Building, there's, like, one walkway, and that's kind of it, so you have to, like, funnel everybody into the walkway, and it's just, And, like, I haven't been to a panel because, like, I don't even know where the hell the panel rooms are.
No.
Ugh. Stupid.
Yeah.
I just want, like, a giant floor. A giant, like, when we went to the One of a Kind Christmas show.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good building. I like that. Nice and open. No stairs. No escalators.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was good.
Yeah.
I like that building. But, I don't know. Something about the Metro Toronto Convention Center. People love it. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Like, even the Anaheim Convention Center, that's a nice, big, open layout.
Yeah. Yeah, like, the BlizzCon stuff? Mm-hmm. Great. No problem.
Yeah. I also would like to see less lineups. Like, whether that means you sell less tickets, which is probably never going to happen, but, like, you know, you want to be able to move. You don't want to have to line up for everything. I want to see more interesting panels.
Mm. Yeah.
And then if we're talking about sort of, like, smaller, like, a bunch of the retro gaming conventions, I want to see more PC games. No one brings big box PC games because they take up too much room. But I want more of those.
I guess you see more, like cartridge games?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of NES and Super Nintendo in particular. But, yeah.
Yeah, like, the main sticking point for me in conventions is, like, how often I have to be standing in line.
Yeah.
So.
Also, break rooms. I know some...
Oh, yeah.
Some conventions have, like, mental health rooms and, like, places where you can go and just have some quiet. I really like those. Like, whenever I, like, when I go to MAGFest and I stay in the hotel connected to the convention, I end up going up to the room to, like, nap or just sit and, like, read quite often. So when it's something where, you know, the hotel isn't right there, definitely a place where you can have a little break from the crowds would be good.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's it for this episode. We have made it to almost an hour. We thought we weren't going to have anything to say.
It's true.
Thank you to everyone who asked us questions. Mm-hmm. I hope that we'll be able to have our Wonder Woman episode with Valerie next time.
Yes.
Riley, where can people reach you?
You can find me on Twitter at Kaleri, so it's K-A-L-E-R-I with an underscore, and also on Twitch at twitch.tv/Kaleri with no underscore, spelled the same way.
And you can find me on Twitter at @Josiah_ or on YouTube, where my channel is called Cannot Be Tamed. And if you've got any feedback or questions, you can reach out at MediaMavensCast@gmail.com or contact us on Twitter @_MediaMavens. There is also a forum for discussion on any of our episodes at CartridgeClub.org. And if you like the show, please leave us reviews on iTunes or Stitcher. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Hello, and no.
No, don't like it. No.